Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to the Love Journey. Yes, yes. Welcome to the Love Journey. Excited. They call it a prayer line. I call it an experience. I am Janine Ann Ingram, your transformational life coach. Excited about today's guest speaker. We're going to get started with a nice song. I think I'm going to play Angie Winey. Y'all know I love that song. Y'all know it. Y'all know it. You know it's the Lord's Prayer. But the way she do it is just so amazing. So this is Angie Winey, the Lord's Prayer.
I know you know the story when the disciples asked the Lord how they should pray. I wasn't there, but I can't imagine that they may have sound something like this. How should we pray? Here's what the Lord told them. thank you so much. God bless you.
Good morning, good morning. You're tuned in to The Love Journey. That was Angie Winans, The Lord's Prayer. Yes, I am Jeanine Ann Ingram, your transformational life coach. We're going to get ready and move into a space to center our mind, centering our thoughts, recognizing that there is only one power and one presence in this whole universe. And we recognize that power and that great source on this line is God, the good, the omnipotent, everywhere present. Knowing that there is no spot that our God is not. So as we become still and recognize this power, as we become still and know that I am God, we know that I am God. We're going to take in a deep breath, breathing in through the nose, holding it to the point of vibration, holding to the count of eight, and then releasing through the mouth of remembering to breathe into the heart. Reverend Ike says, the feelings that get the blessing. Why? Because the heart has wisdom. So as we breathe in, family, let's take in a deep breath. And release. Taking another deep breath, family. Breathe in through the nose. Hold it to the point of vibration. Hold it to the count of eight. Release through the mouth and remember to breathe into the heart. Be still and know that I am God. Let's breathe, family. And release. One more time. Be still and know that I am God. Let's breathe, family. Breathe. And release. Divine Mother, Father God, precious and Holy Spirit, today to invoke and invite the presence of you into this call and it's right now, most calling forth my highest self, Holy Spirit, asking that every word of my mouth and every meditation of my heart come, Holy Spirit. All will be so acceptable in thy sight, God. I'm asking you to remove every human created thought, every human created ego, God. I'm asking you to come, Holy Spirit, and bring forth a blessing like no other, God. I'm asking you to bless this call today, God. I'm asking for a fresh anointing upon our life, God. I'm asking for fresh wineskins and new fresher oil over our life, God. I'm asking you to come, Holy Spirit, and bring forth a blessing today, God. I'm asking you to raise the vibratory energy of this call. I'm asking you to bless each and every person under the sound of my voice, God. I'm asking you to come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. And let there be light. Father, Mother, God of this great universe, I give thanks for your presence on this call. I give thanks for each and every person. I give thanks for our guest speaker today. I give thanks for how you show up in our life, God. I give thanks as we bless you today, Father God. We ask you to go before us today, Holy Spirit, and bring forth a blessing, God. I ask you to go forth and send your angels out on assignment.
assignment today, that our day will be filled with ease, elegance, and grace, Holy Spirit. I ask you to come, Holy Spirit, and rain down your love upon us this morning, Holy Spirit. Oh, come, Holy Spirit, and let there be light upon us today, God, as we shine our light upon you today, God, as we allow our lives to be a manifestation of you in showing up in us today, God. I'm asking you to come, Holy Spirit, and show up and show out, God. I give thanks for each and every person. I give thanks for all that is. I give thanks for all that will ever be, God. I just give thanks, Holy Spirit, because they say the highest form of praise is thank you, God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, God. And I give thanks for all that is. Amen. Amen. So it is. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Good morning. Good morning, God. Good morning to all the birds, the bees, the flowers, the trees. Good morning to the universe. Good morning to the earth, the wind, the fire, the water, the ether. Good morning to our angelic family, our most beneficent angelic family. Good morning, angels, as we invite and invoke the angels. Good morning, as we invite and invoke the archangels. Good morning, archangels. And good morning, as we invite and invoke the ascended masters, the master guides, and our spirit guides. Good morning, good morning, good morning. And good morning, as we invite and invoke our ancestors. Good morning, ancestors, as we pay homage to those who walked this journey before us. As we stand on their shoulders, standing in honor and in service to our descendants. Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. Good morning, Miss Anastasia McAdoo. Good morning, Mom. And good morning, good morning, good morning to my brothers and sisters, my kings and queens, my gods and goddesses. Peace to the family. Love to the gods and goddesses this morning, my millionaires and my billionaires. Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is the Love Journey, Inc. I am Janine and Ingram, your transformational life coach. They say this is a prayer line, but I'll call it a experience. Yes, the Love Journey is an inspirational experience, assisting people on how to live from their higher self, recognizing that love is the most powerful force in living from that space. And this show will take you through a journey to your inner self. When you get through here, we really express that wonderful quote by Gandhi, be the change you want to see in the world. What did he mean? He mean if you want to change the world, you got to change your own consciousness. And that's what the Love Journey is about, changing our own consciousness, understanding that everything is an inside job. Transformation begins within. Transformations begin right then. All right, within us. So let's get ready and take a little time. I'm going to do a gratitude meditation on this meditation, on this Money Manifesting Miracle Monday. With Ayana Benzant, we're going to do a gratitude. I love this meditation because it reminds me of being grateful. And I'm so grateful.
Gratitude Meditation. This guided meditation is offered to support you in creating the experience of gratitude within your mind and body. Gratitude is the quality or feeling of being grateful or thankful. It is an expression of deep appreciation within yourself that is extended outward. In order to receive the full benefit of this meditative experience, it is recommended that you listen during a time and in a place where you will not be disturbed for 5 to 7 minutes. As you take a long, deep inhale, focus your attention and your energy right in the center of your chest, the center of love within your being. and breathe into the center of your chest, holding the thought form, I am so grateful. And exhale that breath. Again, breathing directly into the center of your chest, I am so grateful. And allow that breath to be released. And see, feel, imagine, intended to be so, that someone you love unconditionally and someone you know loves you unconditionally is standing right before them. See them with your mind's eye. If you can't see them, feel their presence. And if you can't feel their presence, just imagine that they're there, or set an intention that this person that I love unconditionally, who loves me unconditionally, is standing right before me, eye to eye, heart to heart, soul to soul. And as if you could speak directly into their heart and into their being, simply say, thank you. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful for you. I'm so grateful for your love. I'm so grateful for the opportunity to love you. I'm so grateful. And take a long, deep inhale. And exhale. And allow the feeling, the experience, the expression of gratitude to fill your being from the soles of your feet to the top of your head. Allow it to radiate and vibrate within you as you hold a thought form. I am so grateful. Grateful. Grateful I am. I am grateful for this moment, this life, this time, this experience. Just breathing gratitude. Long, deep inhale. I am so grateful. Slow, complete exhale. Grateful. I am. Again, a long, deep inhale. I am so grateful. And a slow, complete exhale. Grateful. I am. And breathe. And experience the radiance of gratitude. And bring your awareness to the gentle ebb and flow of your breath. And together we take a long, deep inhale in and drop it with the sound of again, a long, deep inhale and drop it. And wiggle your toes and your fingers. And give your body a big stretch, allowing the energy to be balanced and reintegrated at all levels of your being. And whenever you're ready, you may open your eyes and focus on something in the room as you take a long, deep inhale and drop it. And allow yourself to just bask in the radiance of gratitude. And as you move into your day, be sure to do something good for you. And be blessed.
Be blessed. Yes, yes. Wow. There's something just really powerful about taking time and doing something good for you today. So today's thought is do something good for oneself. Remembering transformation begins within. Honoring oneself. Remember, people treat you the way you treat yourself. Loving you and honoring you is one of the most important things you can do on the planet. We're going to call Jackie in to sing our love song, and then we're going to introduce our amazing guest speaker. I am excited to bring her today. Good morning, Miss Jackie. You're doing things out there in the East Coast, huh?
Good God morning, Lady Love. Peace and blessings. Yeah, I'm stepping out there. I'm stepping out. Stepping up and stepping out.
All right, all right. I got to listen to it. I saw it, but I didn't get a chance to listen to it. I said, look at Miss Jackie.
Thank you so very much. I love you. I love you. Good God morning, Love Journey family. I am so thankful and so grateful for this beautiful, blessed opportunity as we all can take this time to do something good for ourselves by planting that seed of love and showering it with our love song. I love myself so much so that I can love you so much, so that you can love yourself so much, so that you can keep on loving me. So come on, family, let's unmute our phones by pressing *6, and let's sing our love song on the count of three. 1, 2, 3, let's do it. I love myself so much. So I can love you so much. And you can love you so much. So you can keep on loving me. Oh, yes, I love myself so much. So I can love you so much. And you can love you so much. So you can keep on loving me. Last time, come on, I love myself so much. So I can love you so much. And you can love you so much. So you can keep on loving me. Amen. We keep the love growing and we keep the love flowing because it is all about love. Namaste. Back to you, Lady Love.
All right. Reminding you today that loving you so that you can love others is the most important thing. You got to love you first because remember, you can't give from an empty vessel. You know it. So remember, my grandmother always used to say, there's not an ill love can't heal. There's not a prescription love can't fill. And there's not a question that love cannot answer. No, 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 no. All right. You tuned into the Love Journey. I am Janie Ann Ingram. Yes, I am your transformational life coach. Excited about today. You know, one of the things that we forget sometimes is to really honor our dreams. Really play full out and live our dreams. So many of us live day to day and then forget how important it is to move forward and live our dreams. Let's hear this by Harry Belafonte. Dreams will always be there.
There's nothing stronger or more powerful than a dream. Even in darkness, dreams have an infinite capacity to see light. They outlive pain. They outlast heartbreak. They overcome doubt. They forget imperfection.
Dreams. So today, I want to talk to you about a special young lady dear to my heart. I watched her grow up with my daughter. She was always this amazing young lady. Her name is Stacy Stewart, and she's 23 years old, candidate for her PhD, doing amazing things around the world. And today I bring to you a phenomenal guest, a gift to the planet. She started her own 501c3 to bring information to those who wouldn't ordinarily get information. It's called Desire to Expire. I think that's right. And she's getting ready to do her first Economic Empowerment Summit, the world's largest baby shower for those economically disadvantaged young girls who are pregnant, getting ready to have babies. I want to introduce to you an amazing gift to the planet. I just still look at her and be like, oh, hey, sister. Oh, good morning, Stacey. Thank you for coming on the radio this morning.
Yes, yes. Thank you so much for having me.
Stacey, you know, I keep saying, wow, she's such a young lady doing so many things. Let's talk about who is Stacey.
Yes, definitely. So I am currently a fourth year at DePaul University in a PhD program geared towards clinical psychology. I do a lot of research on mentorship and asset mapping and resourcing for communities. And so my nonprofit is something I actually started as an undergraduate at the University of Missouri. And I have held on to it since then. And now that I am in Chicago, I really felt like it was my duty to give back. And with some of the expertise that I'm learning in school, and, of course, my passion driving me, we decided to host this year the Chicago Women's Empowerment Summit. So it has definitely been a fun, crazy journey planning things up to this point.
All right. So when you said you were getting your PhD and you were studying what, I didn't hear that one part.
So I'm getting my PhD in clinical psychology, but my research interests are around mentoring. So I work a lot with youth. I work in Inglewood with some kids on a weekly basis, and we talk to them about stress and trauma. And I'm also interested in asset mapping for communities, which is essentially seeing where are the strengths in the communities, what do people in the communities actually need, and figuring out how to service that need. So,
wow.
A lot of fun.
So when you say you're working in Inglewood and you're working in some of our less economic empowerment areas, what, you know, you growing up, you had a, you know, to me, on the outside looking in my opinion, a phenomenal childhood. I feel like, you know, being a part of your childhood and watching you grow up, what gave you a passion to want to give back to a community of people like what you're serving?
I think sometimes individuals who do not have the money or education are often looked over. And I think that there's so much injustice in that, and being someone now who has the opportunity to become very educated, I feel like it's essentially my duty to pass that knowledge along to others. We live in a very materialistic and greedy society, and we impoverish those even further who need help the most. And seeing that and understanding that, it's so important for me to help the next generation get to where I've been blessed to get and receive the education I am totally blessed to have and just be enlightened on different levels. And so I feel like I hope that this Empowerment Summit helps do that for women, is expose them to resources that they maybe did not know were even in their community, answer any questions that they may have about health, any economic questions that they may have. Of course, parenting and rearing questions that parents may have, because you don't see this information floating around very fluid in our community. So I just want to essentially help the next generation get a little bit further. And if I can do that for some families, for some women, for some children, I think that I would have satisfied my purpose on this earth.
Wow. I saw that you know, as you grew up, I saw that you got quite a few scholarships. I saw you with Bill Cosby with the Coca-Cola scholarship. How, and mm-hmm. some other major contributing scholarship programs that helped you get through some of your college
experience.
How did that affect what are you doing today? Because they gave back to you. How did that affect you then? And does that have any influence on what you're doing in terms of your giving back?
Yes, definitely. Those organizations were definitely influential, just especially with the peers that I was surrounded by, is that you would be so surprised what amazing things our youth are doing. And I definitely have hope in this next generation. I've met some really inspirational peers that keep me pushing towards my passion and always make it very clear that service is important. And just being in those programs made me realize how much networking is important and how lucky I am to have certain resources at my disposal. And I wouldn't have those things if I wasn't blessed to have a great education. And my parents know about some of these resources. So it makes me really, really want to give back to other people because I know what that can do for you. I am a JRS scholar, and that has been a fantastic experience. And they push us to go further, and always are encouraging us to go further and give back and really recognize the privilege that we have being the next the educated next generation, especially when it comes to being African American as well.
Wow.
Yep, so they have been absolutely great experiences professionally and, of course, personally with people that I've met and recognizing how important service is and that, for me, it is literally what I am passionate about and something that I'm willing to give my heart and my time to.
Being 23 years old, give me some of the names of people who have influenced your life up until this point, even if it's very young, you know, all the way up until now, and why?
Okay. So I actually had a couple grade school teachers that I will always remember. And actually both of these teachers were very, very, very different, but impacted me in interesting ways. And so I had a second grade teacher. Her name, yes, and she was extremely compassionate.
I don't know. Okay, now I can hear you. I don't know.
Sorry about that.
You said she was extremely compassionate. So I heard that.
Yeah, she was extremely compassionate and excited to see us learning. So she would come up with all types of creative ways to help us learn and get a lot of learning outside of the classroom and just all kind of fun stuff. And so I always remember her for that. And so with my mentoring program, and with the summit that we are hosting, we are trying to be as creative as totally possible. We are trying to literally call all 150 women that we have registered to talk to them and get to know them. That's something that I really look back and see, like, man, she has such a huge impact on me even years later, and I take some of those things with me. Same thing with our mentoring program. We are excited to help our mentees learn and grow and develop. And I want to be able to keep that level of excitement and compassion for others. And I had actually a third grade teacher. Her name was Miss Moore, and she was always really hard on us, but it was for a good reason. And so I appreciated that, is that sometimes it takes a lot of hard work and things aren't always exciting or fun, but just remembering to have that tenacity that she taught us has been really, really important in my life in getting as far as I have, as young as I have done it. And actually in college I had an advisor, and she is actually the reason why I'm in a PhD program right now. Her name is Dr. Deborah Bill at the University of Missouri, and she believed in me. She believed in my organization, and she believed in my intellect, and she pushed me to apply to PhD programs, which I wasn't originally going to do. And so I owe her my next step in educational success is that I think about it all the time, and she would not let me get away from the idea of getting into a PhD program, and she's helped me every step along the way. And I really appreciate that because she had nothing to gain. So, yeah, those are just a couple of people. And my parents, of course, being there day in and day out, how much they support me and push me further, it has just been amazing.
You know, we just honored Father's Day last week, and all the men we call it celebrating the sacred masculine. I watched you with your father, and you seem to adore your father, and your father seems to adore you. How important do you think having your father in your life? And I ask that, not that mothers are not important, but, you know, in our community, there's not a lot of children who can say their father's been in their life. How important would you say having your father be in your life and being that present? Not just being there, but being present. And he seems to be very present. Whenever I see him and he talks about you, his eyes light up. And, oh, I just know you are his pride and his joy. How do you feel in terms of his love and his support? How has that affected
having
him in your life?
So having my dad present and active in my life for my entire life is actually crazy when you think about it, because I don't know a lot of people who have had such an active father figure. I was actually just with my dad yesterday, and it's amazing. I don't even know how to put it into words. It's been an amazing, amazing ride with him, and he is definitely my confidant and supports me in everything that I do. Gary to the point type of guy. If I want to do something, he's definitely going to want me to have my I's dotted and my T's crossed. But if he sees that I'm passionate about it and willing to put the work in it, he's willing to do anything that he can on his behalf to help me. He's actually like on my tech team and helping me get a lot of tech stuff done with my nonprofit Desire to Aspire. And he's just doing it, like, out of the goodness of his heart, working for me and not getting paid or compensated in any way. So he has always been very, very, very supportive in any way, shape, or form. I'm so glad to have two parents that have been able to do that for me. I know that a lot of people don't have their fathers in their lives, and I'm just not sure how I would do a day without him. We always joke around and say that we are twins. So that's my twin, and I love him so much.
You do. You got awesome parents. Your mom loves you. Your dad loves you. How important would you say having a support system is to development of one's life?
We can't figure out this thing called life on our own. And to have parents there that have supported me, I've been blessed. But I also want to recognize individuals who are not necessarily related to me by blood. For you, like you, for example, is your love and support of me and what I do cannot go unnoticed either. And for those people who have not been blessed to necessarily have people by blood that are related to them to support them, other individuals in their lives are just as important, and I think that they should be recognized as well, because I think it definitely takes a village to birth a purpose.
Let's say that again. It takes a village to birth the purpose. I'm about to tweet that out, quoted by Sentence. It takes a village to birth the purpose. I just wanted to stress that. I thought that was beautiful. Continue.
Yes. So I think it's important for us to kind of asset match in our own life, and that meaning that really look at our own lives and look at people who support us and encourage us, and make sure to give them thanks and support them in return. As often we think of family first when it comes to our support systems, and those are definitely important people. But for those who don't have those individuals in their lives to support them, really looking at the other people in their lives that support them and encourage them and love them through life, I think is also really important. So I've been blessed to have both, and it has been a phenomenal, phenomenal ride. And because I have been blessed with these individuals, I have to give back. If so much has been poured into me, that I have no excuse not to give back.
And you also are fortunate because not only do you have amazing parents, you have amazing grandparents. Whenever I see your granddad, of course, you know you his heart and joy too. So I just wanted to honor your grandparents as well. They, you know, Mr. Stewart always tells me great things about you, and he just lights up as well when I see him. So, being a mentor and creating this 501c3 program where you go in and mentor, tell me some of the things that you saw that may have really blew your mind or like wowed you out. What's some of the things that's happening in our community that you like people really need to know these kids need or whatever, whatever comes to your mind?
Yeah. I think that we often underlook how malleable and how resilient our kids are. And I think that we often look at that in a negative way. And so, yeah, kids are very malleable and easy to be molded, but we often say that or don't value that as much as we should. So we say, oh, yeah, our kids are uneducated and gullible, and so they join gangs and start violence in our communities. But if we put the right resources into our communities and spend the appropriate amount of time with our youth, it's just as easy as it is and can be a slippery slope for some of them to do negative things. It's just as easy for them to do positive things. And I think we shed such a negative light on our youth sometimes. But really should look at some of their qualities and figure out how we can help them invest in positivity. And so going down there and mentoring youth is so beautiful for me to see changes in them, and those being positive changes, is that they are so willing to be molded and to learn and to do better. And I think that's very beautiful. And I also realize that they are very resilient. Yes, especially in Inglewood, our kids are going through a lot being in some of the neighborhoods that they live in and under some of their family circumstances, and it makes you realize how resilient these kids are, as they can be going through a lot at home and still come in with a smile on their face and excited to see you and really being active and ready to participate. And even if they are having a bad day, ready and willing to talk to you and tell you about it. So our kids are awfully, awfully resilient, and we should not take that for granted and really use this critical period in their lives to push them into positivity and love them through life. And I think that's important. So I think those are the two things that I'm really seeing being kind of on the ground, mentoring, working with kids on a weekly basis, and positive things at that. So
just so you know, this call, this is Blog Talk Radio, and it's all over the world, so people would know Inglewood is what they recognize in Chicago as a low impoverished area. And so a lot of kids come to school, parents hooked on drugs, or maybe the parents are in jail, or, you know, they're being raised by grandparents. Lots of things are going on. So a lot of times when they come to school, they may not have had breakfast, they may have had an interesting night. Lots of things go on with that process when, like me, I grew up with a parent who was hooked on drugs, no father in the household. And so a lot of times, you know, when parents are hooked on drugs, they don't come home. And many nights I had to figure out how to eat before I went to school. So that's what a lot of our children are going through in the Inglewood area and other areas as well. But I just wanted to stress what Inglewood was about. been a, and not to say that there are not some great things coming out of Englewood, but that's a big number of things that's happening. And so for you to go over in the community, and so what would you say is your biggest testimony from your mentorship program?
That's a really good question. I actually have several stories, but I think to sum it up, has been the relationships that I've built with the kids. And I think that that has been the most important thing that has come out of this mentoring program. I mean, as much as I like to say that I am the one giving back, I also have to realize how much is being given to me through the relationship that I have with these kids. And so I don't want to seem like any type of, you know, superwoman where I go in and help people and try to fix them up. And no, is that these kids have such made such an impression on my life that I am sure that I am the one who has probably changed the most in their presence, opposed to me being the one that has just been so life-changing and altering in their lives. Of course, I hope that that's true, but I also have to remember what they've poured into me, and just the relationships that I've built with these youth has been absolutely amazing. Kids that will still call you and keep in contact with you years and years afterwards, and the ability to see the growth in kids has been absolutely amazing and mind-altering and life-changing. And the unconditional love that they give, even when you are the one who messes up, you were late to the meeting, you know, just this positive regard that I have gotten from them and these great relationships that I have with them has been awesome. And these kids are really the hope of our future. And I know that many people say that, you know, me and my peers are, but I'm also looking a little bit younger, and the potential that these youth have and their graciousness in allowing me into their lives and into their circles and into their situations has been amazing, and how hard they fight every day. And most of them doing it with a smile is just, has been mind-blowing. And so I think that's the biggest thing that I take away is literally each individual relationship that I am able to build with these youth is that it really changes me and pushes me to keep giving of myself because I realize how giving these youth are. And I wouldn't change that for the world. I wish that there was one particular story that was just better or astronomically more interesting. But the truth of it all is that each of these stories that I've been graced to be a part of that we call these kids' lives is interesting and dynamic in and of itself. And so for me to pick one above the other would essentially do what I do for a living, a disservice. Each life is powerful and has a different purpose and is going somewhere totally different. And to be on all, for them to allow me to be on so many different journeys in my one lifetime is amazing. And for them to let me see, just to peek sometimes into their lives and see what's going on, and the ability to be that vulnerable with someone that they don't know, you know, me being a complete and total stranger, is a beautiful thing.
Wow. Thank you. So let's talk about Desire to Expire. How did you come up with that name, and what is the mission of Desire to Expire?
Okay, so I actually started Desire to Expire when I was at the University of Missouri doing my undergrad, and it was birthed simply out of a question, is I wanted to get more active and more invested on the campus of the University of Missouri.
And I couldn't really figure out where my niche was and exactly how to do that. And so I asked one of my friends, I was like, hey, you know, what should I really get into on this campus, or what should I do? I haven't really found anything that's interesting and that I would like to get involved in. And they said, well, maybe do your own thing. And they asked me, what upsets me? And I thought that was a really odd question. What do you mean, what upsets me? And so I just broadly started talking about how we don't properly invest in our youth and how our youth are mistreated and sometimes neglected. And if I could do anything about that, I would be happy. And so they literally just told me, then do something. And I was like, okay, that really didn't help. What do you mean do something? And I got back to my dorm room when I was on campus, and I said, well, maybe I can, like, work with some girls at some schools in Columbia, Missouri. And so I emailed probably about 5 or 6 schools in the Columbia, Missouri area and just emailed them and said, hey, I'm Stacy, and I would like to work with some girls maybe and do some cool stuff once a week. And I didn't think that, you know, I would get any response, but I was like, hey, nothing beats a failure but a try. So I threw it out there. And my vision was to just go, it'd be me, and work with maybe 5 or 6 girls on a weekly basis and talk and do some cool, you know, activities. That was about it. And I would be happy with my effort in giving back. And so I woke up the next morning, and actually all of the schools responded to me and said that they would be interested in that and that I should bring more people with me. And, like, did I have an organization? And if so, what the name of it was? And, like, all of these things. And I was like, wait a minute. This was just supposed to be me. I didn't plan on creating any type of organization out of this. And literally in that moment, Desire to Aspire was birthed. And I was like, well, man, if there's such a huge need and so many people actually want our youth, specifically our girls, to be getting this type of attention, maybe I should try to fulfill it. And that's what I did. And I came up with the name, and essentially Desire to Aspire came up just because that's what I want all women to be able to do, is I want them to have that true desire to aspire, to be great. And be great in any realm that they choose. And so that's kind of how the name came about, and I went with it, and I, you know, grabbed about 50 of some of the greatest women on Mizzou's campus, and we served the need in the community. So this past semester, we probably had about 70 mentees in our program, and we were mentoring at about 5 different sites in Columbia, Missouri, where I originally started Desire to Aspire. And so it's great that where I started it is still going and it's still moving. And it's been exciting. So that's kind of how Desire to Aspire came about.
Wow, great story. So now you're doing your first Chicago Woman Economic Summit with the world's largest baby shower. Let's talk about the two components. And how did that come about? The Chicago Woman Economic Summit, and you're doing the world's largest baby shower. I know I put my own little spin to it, but you know.
Yes. So I was actually talking to 2 older women. I had gone to dinner with them, and actually it was lunch with them, and we were chatting about the current state of Chicago and our communities and our women, and we had discussed young girls being pregnant early and not necessarily always having the resources to properly raise little ones. And so after that conversation, I had the idea of, like, hosting a baby shower, and this baby shower would be for anyone, not one person in particular, and if I could get as many pregnant or new moms in Chicago to come together for just a time of support and to get some resources, get some baby clothing and diapers and all of those type of goodies, I thought that that would be a really good time, totally free, and a cool event to keep these moms pushing and moving forward, even though Things right now might be hard. I did to my friends to see if they wanted to jump on board and help. And they were like, Stacey, this is a great idea, but we believe in you and we think you can do something bigger. And I was like, what do you mean bigger? And they were like, it would be great to do the baby shower, but you need to do a little bit more than that. And we know that you can. And so that's kind of how the idea of the Chicago Women's Empowerment Summit was birthed. And the baby shower is just our keynote event. And so we are going to do this annually, and every year there will be a different keynote event. So a different big event, that being the finale of the summit, we'll do something different every year. And so this year, because this is how the idea, this is how the summit was even birthed, was through the baby shower, that is our keynote event this year. And moms who don't have a ton of resources, need a little bit of help, want to have some fun and also be around new mothers to chat and get to know each other, they should definitely come to the Chicago Women's Empowerment Summit. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And so that's kind of how both of those things kind of melded together. And we have some other cool panels. So the Chicago Baby Shower is our keynote event, but we do have other panels where we will have women coming to speak to our attendees on different areas. So some of those being entrepreneurship. So we have like a Mind Your Business panel, and we have some great Chicago entrepreneurs that will be coming to talk to our women if they were interested in eventually learning how to brand and build a business. We have a, like you were saying, economic empowerment-focused panel, that being all about learning how to save money, invest money, how to really make the most out of your dollar, and that's our In the Red panel. So we'll have financial advisors come in to talk to our women about really how to get in great financial standing so that money is not such a stressor in your household. And then we have the Ready, Set, Interview panel. And so this will talk about job tips, do's and don'ts, how to get jobs, helping people write resumes, some of those really practical and applicable skills for our women. And then we also have an Apple a Day panel, and that is all about health. Before anything and everything, we definitely need to make sure that we are healthy so that we can live to see tomorrow and fulfilling live out our purpose. And so we'll have doctors chatting with our women about how to really take care of themselves and their body. And it looks like we'll also have an immunization van on site to get some of our youth vaccinated and ready to go back to school in August. So, yeah, we have a ton of different things that will be going on. We have the Chicago Public Library to register our youth for the Summer Reading Challenge and get them some books so that we can encourage learning even over the summer. So I think we have some cool stuff.
And you forgot to tell us about your phenomenal keynote speaker. Isn't it the Trace?
Yes. Cherise Williams, she is the chief of staff for the state treasurer. And so she will actually be our keynote speaking to our women. And I think it's going to be exciting and great. And she is so excited. So we are glad. We are really, really glad to have her.
Wow. So when is the Chicago Women Empowerment Summit?
It is on July 16th, which is a Saturday. And we are hosting this event in Hyde Park at Kenwood Academy. The address is 5015 South Blackstone. There will be free parking. We have kids care on site. So if you have your little ones and you need someone to watch them, feel free to bring them along. And we'll have them doing some fun stuff while we are informing our moms and our parents and our women. So I think it's going to be great. Hello?